Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we come to God's Word this morning, we come to Acts chapter 19, reading together verses 23 through 41. So let us hear together the Word of God. And about that time there arose a great commotion about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with men's hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised, and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship." Now, when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go out into the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him, pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some, therefore, cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one accord cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. So as we look at God's Word this morning, we see danger brought because of the foolishness of people. We see that there are these who are silversmiths and the like, who are making money out of the occupation of making shrines to Diana, the goddess there in Ephesus. And yet, as we look at these things, we see that the disciples are defended because they have not been doing evil and bad things. We see that God's people, through truth, overcome the danger of false accusation. That's the theme that we want to see in God's Word. God's people, through truth, overcome the danger of false accusation. In verses 23 through 27, we see that the message of the gospel is having victory in that false gods are being abolished. In verses 28 through 34, we see that there are great dangers in a crowd mentality. And then in verses 35 through 41, we see that the uproar is quelled through the truth, even though it is brought in a very backwards and upside down manner. So first of all, we see that there is victory in that the false gods were being abolished. We see these silversmiths and the like that they are profiting through religions. Against the Christians, against the way, there is this great commotion, verse 23. And we must understand here, we have silversmith making silver shrines of Diana, bringing in great profit. We read verse 25, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade." We have to understand something that is very dangerous here, that men are using religion to gain financially, and it has happened so very often in the history of the world. And they are making shrines to this goddess Diana. Isaiah 44, verses 18 through 20. "They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes, so that they cannot see in their hearts, so that they cannot understand, and no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge, nor understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals, I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it into an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? When people chase after false religions, they are always chasing after a lie, and they're chasing usually after the things of this world. And we need to understand how important it is that God is he who must be worshipped, not man, not the things of this world. As Romans says, they change the glory of the incorruptible God into things like man, beasts, and so many other things. The industry, then, of this is endangered by the gospel. Not only in Ephesus, but in all of Asia, Paul has turned away many people, saying they are not gods which are made with men's hands. Another translation puts it, gods made with hands are not gods. Acts 17:29. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, Paul says, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. And these Ephesian silversmiths and the like say that this is hurting our prosperity. Verse 27, not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the statue of Diana and her temple may be despised. The truth is winning out, and they're afraid of that fact, and they are afraid of their livelihood, their money, being cut off because their money is being made on a false truth. And we see this then continue into the dangers of a crowd mentality. The city is stirred up without having any knowledge of why. They cry, great is Diana of the Ephesians, and they begin this religious mob. And the city was filled with confusion and ran to the theater, seizing Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's Greek traveling companions. And we see that Paul is kept away by his friends and by even those from Asia. Paul wanted to go to the crowd to help discuss this matter, but the brothers believed it would be dangerous for him. Even the officials of Asia who were his friends pleaded with him not to enter. This was a tinderbox looking for a spark. Sometimes it's not the right time to toss in a match, to toss in the truth. And so we see them come together, they're gathered together, they don't know why, and Alexander is ready to speak. And because of who he is, because he's a Jew, because of racism, he was unable to speak. We read verse 34, but when they found out that he was a Jew, they didn't allow him, and they cried out for 2 hours, great as Diana of the Ephesians. I don't care what color your skin is. There are many things in our culture that are made important that are not. We need to understand what is important, and that it is the truth of the gospel, and what our thoughts are, and what our ideas are, and where they lead. And we must go back again and again and again to the Bible and not to the ideas of man. Acts 10:28. Then he said to him, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. We must understand that racism is not something to mess around with. And the theater then is confused. Some in the theater cried one thing, some another, for the assembly was confused and most of them did not know why they had come together. This is a tinderbox, as we have mentioned. But the people don't actually know what's going on. This reminds me so much of the crowd mentality of so many things in our own culture. Many views and many truths are dismissed out of hand because they are unpopular. I'm sorry, but this is very dangerous. We are perfecting the crowd mentality about things about which there are much things to discuss. The idea of evolution versus creation. The Bible teaches creation, I'm sorry. Man-made global warming, homosexuality, among many others. These things are often just taken on man's ideas without actually looking to what the Bible says. And it is illegal in Canada to speak concerning homosexuality as a pastor. That's not right. That is restriction of the freedom of speech. And yet, that's what's going on in the world, and often in our own country. And Yet as we look at this passage, we see these brothers in dangerous, Gaius and Aristarchus, that Paul has been kept out of it because of wise brothers. And what do we see in the end? The uproar is quelled through the truth. It's kind of a backwards and upside down way in which the truth gets out, but it is quelled. The city clerk had quieted the crowd. He said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of Ephesus is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus?" The mob is mollified by the words of the city clerk, we read, and he says that these things cannot be denied. Verse 36, "You ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly." And yet, even as he says these backwards and upside down things, he establishes the innocence of the believers. Verse 37, "For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemers of your goddess." They're not temple robbers. They're not blasphemers of the goddess Diana. True Christians are to be careful how we live in regard to the laws that are set down before us, because we are to live as Christians. 1 Peter 2, 13-15, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We see that so displayed for us in our passage this morning. And so this city clerk brings out this truth. He says that these are not robbers of temples. These are not blasphemers of the goddess Diana. And he says if there is a problem, you need to take it to the courts, to the proconsuls, and bring charges. But of course, that's not how it's wanted to be done here, because a mob rule gets things done according to man's ideas. Even in Greek culture, there were places for this sort of thing to be judged out. And so this danger of this mob rule is brought to bear, even as we see it in verses 40 and 41, that we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. The people had no idea, those who brought it together did, but the people around that were mobbing did not understand why they're there. And so mob rule does not just endanger those who are involved, including Paul, Gaius, Aristarchus that we've talked about, but the community in which they are mobbing. Because when false ideas are pushed by just a mob instead of by actual understanding, then things are turned upside down and backwards. Verse 40, "We are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar." When the mob rules and the rights of the minority are not respected, everyone is in danger. Because if what I do is not popular the next time, then I'm in danger too. And so we need to understand that God's people, through truth, overcome the danger of false accusation by living Christian lives. We are not here to turn things upside down by man's ways. We are to turn them upside down by obedience in serving God and giving glory to His holy name. Amen. Thank you for joining us on Start the Week this morning. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. We have begun worship services in Dickinson. My colleague, Reverend Dale Clark, is pastoring a chapel of Salem Reformed Church, First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. They are meeting at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 2 p.m. Sundays for worship. If you have any questions, again, that number is 701-288-3265. If Ashley or Dickinson are too or far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, and in Golden Valley, Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be happy to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.